Boy, it's such a shame that you've got no material to work with these days.
I know. What do I do? What's going on?
How prescient was that title? Stupid way. That's so prescient.
I know. And came up with the title before everything started falling apart. I mean, actually, I started writing this thing a year ago because I saw a thing about Ken Lay in the New York Times, a very small story.
You're kidding.
Yeah, but last May. And it said that there's this guy, Ken Lay, and the first thing that caught my eye was, well, no, that's the last name every guy would like, right?
Sure.
So, right?
Sure.
But what an odd name, you know? No Frito, just the Lay, right? so I started doing some investigating. It turned out that this guy, Ken Lay, Bush had given him, like, his own desk in the White House. Like, whenever you're in town, Ken, you can stop by and make a few calls if you need
to use. You're kidding me.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell, what is this, you know? And then a little more digging and found out that basically that he was there to handpick most of Bush's energy people, the head of the regulatory agency that's supposed to regulate Enron. He handpicked the Secretary of the Army, which was an Enron VP. He handpicked the White House counsel. He was an Enron lawyer. Is this like an hour show?
No,
the list is that long.
I had not heard any of this.
Yeah.
I mean, from the way you hear Bush talk about it, he met Kenny Lay at a masquerade party. They barely talked.
He's like this, you know.
I know you used to call him Kenny Boy, but I had no idea that it was this intricate.
When Bush and his family flew around during the 2000 primaries, he was flying on the Enron jet. So whenever he would land in a city, he's standing in front of the Enron jet, the actual Enron jet. And in fact, opening day of baseball season 2000, can we go to the videotape? Do we have this?
No. This is basic cable, man. You know what? Tell me what it is, I'll draw it. All right. That's about all I can do. That's all I got.
Yeah. It was the first, here's what happened. The first day of baseball season, Enron Field opened down in Houston, right?
Sure, sure.
So Bush takes the Enron jet back there, and I'm reading the story, and I'm thinking, oh, probably to throw out the first pitch, right? No, Kenny Boy was throwing out the first pitch. He just wanted to be there to watch.
You're kidding.
And John, this is really what's great about, you know, our generation. Men these days, you know, we're more sentimental, you know, we love each other in a different kind of way, and it was just amazing that he was willing to do that.
So you're saying it's more of a stand-by-me relationship, where they...
Exactly,
when they were kids, they saw a dead body and swore to stick together no matter what happened.
Yeah. So the sort of dissing him, saying, I don't know who he is, you know, I don't know who he is, I don't know who he is.
Wow.
You know, there was like this guy in the Bible, right, who said, I don't know that guy, I don't, and then the cock crowed.
Now, what is the name of that book again, you said?
That was the B-I-B.
Bible?
Yeah, L-E. It was like, wasn't it Peter? It was Peter, right? Yeah. It was like, I don't JC. I don't, what JC? I don't know no JC.
Right.
You know?
And you think Kenny Lay probably talked to him the night before and said, you will deny me three times.
Yes. And the cock shall crow.
You will deny me. Now, can you go into, because I think in general, Dick Cheney is sort of seen as the Dark Lord of Energy.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's interesting that now he was with Halliburton, which I guess is a whole separate other.
It's even worse, okay?
Really?
Yeah, well, here, let me tell you.
That's a stinky cheese.
Well, here are the real minutes of the meetings, the secret meetings that Cheney doesn't want released. Mm-hmm. It's not about the meetings that he had with Halliburton and Enron, all these people to screw California during their energy crisis.
Right.
It was the meetings that were held last summer with the Taliban. They were actually meeting with Unocal executives, oil company executives,
right.
Well, and the Taliban.
Aren't they working in Tajikistan and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, they were trying to negotiate with the Taliban to build a pipeline from the Caspian Sea through Afghanistan. Now, this is going on last August, 1 month before September 11th.
Wow.
And Halliburton was involved in these meetings with the Taliban. That's where the really scary, you know, sad stuff is, and it's like, it's almost like we don't even want to know this.
Is this, and this is, and you're surmising, this is why the minutes of those meetings are being held back.
Those meetings and other things.
That explains an awful lot.
And other things that they don't want to release, because when we get to the bottom of the attacks on this country, and why we didn't stop it, why we didn't know about it, there's a whole thing with, you know, why George Bush allowed this private Saudi jet. You know the story? It was in the New Yorker a few weeks ago.
I don't read.
No.
I try not to. You know what I love there? SpongeBob SquarePants. You ever see that? It's got that little guy who runs around.
Well,
all right, tell me the Saudi jet story.
Yeah.
let me hear.
All right. The Saudi jet. This is not a black helicopter story.
No. I'm with you.
You remember after September 11th, for 3 days, nobody could fly.
Right.
Planes were down. There, nobody could go up in the air.
Right.
Except the administration allowed a private Saudi jet to go to five American cities and pick up 20 members of the bin Laden family and get them out of the country. And the FBI was very upset that they didn't get to interrogate them. And they told, you know, the administration, we don't let them leave the country because in a murder investigation, you want to talk to the siblings and the relatives of the murderer.
Right.
And
especially when there's like 10,000 of them.
Exactly. You and know. And instead, they just let them go. Then it turns out a week later in the New York Times, George Sr. Is involved in this Carlyle group, this business with the bin Laden family. And the bin Laden family were the ones who put up the money for George W.'s first oil company back in the early 80s, okay, called Arbusto. You can get all this information from the New York Times, from the Washington Post, from the New Yorker. The New Yorker has the story about the...
Did you hear all this? You just think $55 million over a blowjob. That's really all you can think.
That's exactly...
That's, you sit and you wonder the outrage that was expressed.
200 FBI agents, right. John, were devoted to investigating the president's zipper and where he placed his cigar.
Right.
200 of our FBI agents.
Yeah,
Let me ask, during the later part of the 90s, had those 200 FBI agents been doing their job to protect us and gather information and intelligence,
right.
You know, might this have happened? I want justice done to anybody involved in this, and to those who weren't doing their job to try and prevent this, I want them removed.